East Carolina picked up a very, very big and important win over Central Florida at home this weekend. They are 5-3, which means they're one win away from bowl eligibility. And it ain't going to be easy to get there. Patrick Johnson, 94-3, the game in Greenville, pre and post for East Carolina football. Sir, did the nature of the win surprise you as much as the win?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If I'm being honest,
I like honesty. Honesty is good,
right? We're on truth planet. So, look, I thought this is probably. I think you got to go back to 08 when they kind of dominated a then top 10 West Virginia team. Boy, them were the days, huh? And that's probably the most complete game ECU has played since then that I can recall. They beat SMU a few years ago at the end of the regular season, but it was, they weren't playing for quite the stakes that they were playing for. I mean, this was a tail kicking in a lot of ways. I mean,
yes.
You see the final 34-13. ECU is the faster team, which is kind of surprising. All we heard about is how fast this Central Florida group was. East Carolina was the more physical team, which I don't think was as surprising. They look great. Holt Naylor's was as close to perfect as you could probably be against a really quality team, especially on defense. He got honored as a conference, honorable mention this week in those weekly awards. If not for Clayton Tune going nuts with 5 touchdowns for Houston, he probably would have been the offensive player of the week again. So, look, very impressive. The Pirates have 2 tremendous receivers with great physical gifts. Keaton Mitchell's healthy. Or as healthy as you are this time of year, and he can run virtually away from anybody. The defense was magnificent. Everything. I surprised that they dominated in a sense in the way that they did. And look, the big moment in the game, Adam, UCF, as you knew they would, comes out the second half.
Yes.
First drive, they score, Pirates answer, and then from there it seemed like that was maybe they took the best shot from UCF, and from there they kind of dictated what went on the rest of the way.
Yeah, that's what I thought, is that it could have gone the other way. You have the nice lead, you jump out 17-0, you have the nice lead, and then Central Florida comes out of the locker room, they score that touchdown, and you think, okay, they're okay, and then you answer. And I also thought the way they answered, because a lot of it was Keaton Mitchell. I don't know how many, like almost 30 yards of rushing on that drive. You mentioned the stars, and yeah, they have other wide receivers. Winstead is obviously very good, but you got C.J. Johnson having a big game. Mitchell has a big game. Ehlers has a big game. So your stars were stars, and it was good to see. It was also a big win, I think, for Mike Houston. No?
Yeah, well, again, that is, win against SMU when they were 23rd in the nation. That was at the end of the year. SMU came in kind of maybe a little flat, just trying to get through. Pirates really weren't playing for a ton that day, to be quite honest. And you given the stakes, for all intents and purposes, UCF a top 25 team.
Sure. I mean,
they've been ranked. They are really, really, they had rolled up 70 points and 727 yards the previous game against Temple, who are no world beaters by any stretch. But that's the second most yards in an FBS game this year, was what they did against Temple. So, I mean, they're very capable of scoring points. They're averaging 40 coming in. I was just shocked how, I don't know, ECU kind of, the old kind of kick them in the teeth or punch them in the face, and they never really punch back outside of that coming out of halftime.
Yeah.
ECU really dominated, this is where the stats thing, because, they got the same amount of snaps, but at the half, ECU had doubled the snaps that UCF had taken. And, that they just were, you mentioned 17-0, Adam. It could have been more. I mean, they dinked the field goal off the upright, probably could have punched. I mean, it could have been 28-0. But huge win, good win for Mike, great win for Mike Houston, quite honestly. And I think this is, given how bit of a listless performance they had at Tulane, who was very good.
Yeah.
To bounce back and, rally down 17 the week before and win in 4 overtimes and then still be, really beat up, come here and win in the fashion in which they did. I've got to go out to Provo. It's a short week. They go out there Friday BYU stinging. Liberty torched them. And now it's, you know, kind of BYU playing for their, you know, maybe thought at the beginning of the year BYU might be playing for an outside shot in the New Year Six, you know, as we project these things out. But
right.
Now they're playing for bowl eligibility.
They are. They're BYU, which got off to such a great start, it seemed, is 4-4 and trying to figure out how they're going to win six games. So now each of the next, we'll just say the next three. I mean, Temple almost seems like, you'd have to really blow it to not beat Temple at this point.
Right.
But
right.
BYU and then Cincinnati on the road, Houston at home. And Houston looks like they've kind of figured it out a little bit after a difficult start to the season. So the last four games, well, certainly the next three, not going to be easy for the Pirates at all.
They were playing the Big 12 schedule, Adam, a year early,
right.
What the Pirates were doing.
That's exactly what they just had, right, all four.
Right, yeah. Look, I think it's not going to be easy going out to Provo. You got to deal with, you know, 4,500 feet above sea level altitude, and BYU's proud. They're going to have a ton of people there, what, 65,000?
Yeah.
They'll still draw well. They can score. So we'll see. I think it's... Gosh, I tell you, Adam, if East Carolina plays like they did in that game against Central Florida, they can certainly compete and beat anybody that remains on their schedule. I still think Cincinnati, for all the talk of UCF, I still think Cincinnati is the program to beat in the league until you knock them off. They are, but I just, even though they lost all that, I think they've got the program, that fabric, you know, running throughout, and there's not going to be, they're not reloading maybe necessarily, but there's not going to be this huge drop-off. It wasn't a fluky thing what Cincinnati did the last couple of years.
No, so, they've been good for a while. Cincinnati, this is not a new thing. Last year was new because they were undefeated. But it was they've been good for a while now.
Well, look, Adam, I just, as a Pirate alum, it's just good to beat the 2017 national champ. That's all I got to really say today. It's just really great. And look, UCF has not, really, they've won six in a row over ECU coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And we think back to that whole, or the Hail Mary against the Pirates on that Thursday night.
Oh,
when George O'Leary was still coaching and Ruffin McNeil was in Greece. Just seemed like ever since that moment in time, the Pirate fortunes and their program went down. So maybe, exercised a little bad juju the other night as well. You send the Knights on to their way to the Big 12, goodbye. And, they're a cocky Florida bunch, Adam. They're a I worked down there in Orlando for a couple of years, so I got the front row seat to it. And you know how it is. You know how Florida football is.
It's a big, like, by the way, SEC. It's also a very big school. Central Florida is not a small school.
Huge.
It's actually the biggest school in the state of Florida.
Yeah, and here's what they've really done a good job the last few years. They have cultivated their students. I mean, they get 15 or 20,000 students at the game. That sounds crazy, but it's the kick. That's where the majority of their crowd comes from. And, they've done a really nice job of taking kind of the, erector savvy type of stadium, etch a sketch type of stadium, and making it to like a pretty decent home field environment. So they've poured money into it. I mean, there's no coincidence the three out of the American that are going to the Big 12 are the ones that have spent the most money on their athletic programs and their football programs the last few years. So.
Patrick,
Cincinnati's the one to beat, so there you go.
Patrick Johnson, 94-3, the game in Greenville. Before we let you go, and because so much of this year has been, how do you take another step? Does this, and whatever happens over the next, I mean, they can't fall off a cliff, but does a win like this, first of all, does it erase Navy? And does it make it really feel as though there has been another step taken?
You'd like to think that. That's always that's the thing we all strive for as fans, isn't it, Adam?
Mm-hmm.
Our favorite team. They look like they can beat anybody one week, and the next week they look like they never practiced. So that's part of it, is just harnessing that consistency. ECU's sort of stared prosperity in the face with huge wins over the years, and it's just kind of putting it together. Good to great teams put it together on a consistent basis. But it was really, it had a big feel atmosphere on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
For a late October night game in Greenville. The crowd, I think, was really into it. It was a pretty decent crowd, all things considered. So, no, that was a good win. That's a win that you should be able to believe in a little bit. And I really go back to Memphis. I think rallying from down 17, you couple this win with, you know, having the resolve to do that,
mm-hmm.
and I think that might be the turning point. And, you know, frankly, what got the Pirates to 7 wins last year was they rallied on the road at Marshall in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Down, you know.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was a wild game.
Yeah. And that kind of was the turning point. You know, from then, the Pirates were in every game from really that point on. Even played Cincinnati pretty tough at the end of the year. So I think this is that step in that direction. Everybody still believes very much in what Mike Houston's vision is, and he's done a fantastic job. I mean, you know this, Adam, because you've been around.
Mm-hmm.
This Scotty Montgomery, this thing was was dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it was on life support. It was not a good situation at all. He stepped into in this day and age especially. Skip Holtz was in town this weekend. It was great to see him. He did a heck of a job resurrecting the Pirate program. And getting 2 Conference USA championships back, you know, years ago.
Skip Holtz.
Right, this was a worse situation that Houston took over, I think, than what Holtz did.
Oh, it's very possible. Scotty Montgomery, in a way, was another version of John Thompson, right? When John Thompson took over for Steve Logan. And it had to be rebuilt after that, and it had to be rebuilt after Scotty Montgomery. Patrick Johnson at PJ on air, or it's a P-Man on air. I don't know what to call it, PJ on air.
P-Man
on air. 94.3 The Game in Greenville. I appreciate your time, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Always great to talk to you, Adam. Take care.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.